You thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Welcome back another week, Urban Sports Scene. Not even an earthquake can stop us, man. What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
We're shaking.
The ground. Buildings.
Everything's shaking. But I do know one thing. Urban Sports Scene shaking up.
Shaking what?
All right.
Podcast radio.
We shaking up podcast, man.
Some things just don't make sense.
Yeah, it really doesn't. But anyway, man, let's start with our tradition.
We should talk about the earthquake a little bit more, though, right?
Oh, let's talk about it then. Where were you at?
I was in a building, and I had left my iPhone charger, and so I had to go get it to go back in the building.
Al?
I was home. I was getting ready to play Xbox 360, and unfortunately, I didn't play online just yet. I'd have been blown. I'd have took a loss because of that, but luckily I didn't.
Right? I was actually at work. I was talking to Wally, and all of a sudden, I said, oh, I think it's an earthquake. I heard him say, oh, snap, and then we got disconnected, and no cell phones work for a while after that. So.
I was actually at work, too.
Yeah, and, right.
but when I felt the first tremor, I grabbed my car keys and my cell phone, and I proceeded to head to the steps.
I wish
a lot of people at my job stayed there because they're dedicated.
Wow.
Me, not so much.
No, I forgot my bag, so I got my bag when they let us back in, and then I went home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You work downtown?
No, I work in Tyson's Corner.
Yeah, so much is not making sense these days.
What?
Everything. It's just the Redskins fans are excited now. It's 10 win season after 2 preseason games. It's been a crazy week around here.
And now an earthquake.
To say the least.
And an earthquake. But luckily we all survived. So, you know.
Yeah. I'm breathing. Oxygen.
Bringing another week on the show. So.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's get into our tradition.
There we go.
The pregame. Haynesworth played no contest to a charge of simple assault, touching a waitress breast at the W Hotel.
Yes,
were you supposed to say that?
Yeah.
Yes, he said it.
Tit? Is that a better word?
Hey, that's what BBT.
Because he settled the whole situation, now he gets to practice with the Patriots. I think he had his first practice.
Yeah. So I guess that's probably the reason why he sat out all those numerous practices. They just wanted to make sure he got all that behind him so he could focus on football and making his team. What?
It's been another type of breast that he's had a problem with. Have you seen him? He looks big. You don't think
he's got bigger? He has. He's not in shape.
He's not a wrestler.
Al is. Albert Haynesworth is eating good.
He's not. He's definitely not in shape. But do you think Goodell will suspend him?
No, I don't think so. Just because it happened when there wasn't a.
He might get suspended. Depending on what happened to Kenny Britt and also. Who's the other gentleman he met with today?
Oh.
Well, I can't remember. I can't recall. But it was Kenny Britt met with them because of the off-season problems he had during the off-season. And now there's no wording of the punishment. He said they left without a decision.
Oh, the cornerback, Talib.
Yeah. They said it was going to be a suspension, but as of right now, there's not. So.
Thanks a lot for chiming in, man. It's Antonio Holmes. Glad you joined us. You never introduced anybody, so.
Oh, I sure did. to my right, super producer, engineer, the founder of the Urban Sports Scene, Wally O. What's going on, sir?
Hello. Good morning.
To my left, Ray.
Trying to think of a joke, aren't you?
No, I wasn't. I really wasn't. Ray.
That's all right.
Little brother Ray Jeezy.
Little brother. Oh, retro.
It's retro. That's old school for all those who've been with us for day one. And across the table from me, I got...
It's King Jabba Joe, okay? King Jabba Joe III. Make sure you say the third. If you don't say the third, it's a smack to the face. Thank you very much.
Santonio Holmes.
All right, let's keep going, man. Last night, Justin Verlander got his 19th victory. First pitch of the 19. Is he the best pitcher in baseball now?
I believe so. He's 19-5 this season. First within strikeouts. Third, I believe, in... I don't know what he's third in. I'm sorry. First in strikeouts, and I guess batters hit about 185 against him, which is first. So, I mean, the proof is in the pudding. Any pitcher, no hitter. And almost had a second one as well.
Is he the best period, or is he the best this season?
This season.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Baseball. Next subject.
Next subject. Kobe. Los Angeles Lakers star Kobe Bryant was accused of getting in a physical altercation with a man at church.
Is that Satan?
I think so.
Oh, Kobe, you said. That guy. The one that stole a girl's booty hole. Does it shock you that he's going to beat someone up in church? Don't shock me.
Hey, Al, it's 2 + 4.
6.
Triple it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, you know it.
Could he be?
I think so.
The black devil. Get the black mama.
I actually think it's the opposite. That's crazy. Ice Cube once said, if you're scared, go to church. Kobe's a scared individual, in my opinion. He can pick on somebody with a cell phone, whatever he did. He took his cell phone from him.
Yeah.
He broke his wrist. Chris Childs two-pieced him, and what did he do? Ron Artest threatened him, said, hey, you know who I am? And Kobe just put his hands in there. Matt Barnes even punked him, so he's a nobody. I wish you'd try me. Who? He can take my cell phone.
Well, speaking of altercations, last week the Georgetown Hoyas got into a fight with a professional Chinese basketball team over in China during the exhibition game. Did any of you guys actually see the brawl that ensued?
Yes.
I did. I don't know who that was. It wasn't Jason Clark.
The one who fell?
Yeah. The one who got stomped.
Isn't that Jason Clark?
I think it was Jason Clark. Yeah, it was Jason Clark. Yeah. Jason Clark. You got to learn how to roll over. When you get on the ground like that, you got to keep rolling.
Rule number one.
You got to curl up.
Yeah, that Chinese kid with those khakis, he came off of that bench out of nowhere and just put... He just tap danced on his face.
Rule number one in a group fight, never trip.
Yeah.
Because you will see size 12, 13, 11, 10, and 9s in your face.
Georgetown was younger than that professional team, which irks me in a way, but I think they underestimated them because of their culture. However, your fortune cookie's not going to look good for the rest of your visit. So wherever you go. Now, y'all said worse things. Come on now.
No, I have.
Don't look at me like I'm crazy.
I'm not going to lie. I said I'm not going to. I'm still going to eat my Chinese takeout foods. You know what I mean? I'm still going to do it.
I don't know about that.
I'm still going to eat my Chinese takeout
food. I'm just saying that fortune cookies aren't a wrapper. They can't mess with that. I'm just saying that a little slip of paper might not say nothing good. You will be stomped if you come to our country again.
Well, nah. Actually, the crazy thing is, like, they were scheduled to play 2 games. They didn't play Georgetown. Coach John Thompson III pulled them off of the court after the brawl. And then next Sunday, they were supposed to play again, but they didn't.
It's a goodwill game. Fights get a goodwill game. I mean, let's be real.
I think Nike probably had them stay over there. Because if it were me after that brawl, I would want to get out of that country real quick.
But I think
Chinese officials and Nike probably made them stay.
Chicken broccoli combination.
Oh my God.
In the world after that. Yeah, they should ship a whole basket of it to the States.
You got
to
give credit to them though. The stereotypes is karate or some form of martial arts, yeah. But they were throwing some blows out there.
It's kind
of,
you ever seen a Karate Kid with Will Smith's son?
Nah,
it's quite similar. They hated black people.
I'm not gonna say they hate. Like some of my coworkers are Chinese.
Yeah.
Are you sure they're all Chinese? You don't know that.
I don't know.
Or they're Vietnamese.
Asian. They're Asian.
Japanese.
What they tell me is that actually this newer generation, like the generation now of adolescent men in China are far more aggressive than they used to be. And also they have a very negative perception of Americans. Not just black Americans, but white Americans, just people from America in general.
Look at our economy. We own so much money.
Obviously, you can see by the stomp down.
Yeah.
But, and the chairs being thrown.
Basketball is still not your sport. That's why you're losing the game. You're a little bitter. That's all.
I know. Yeah. 50. The free throw discrepancy was 57 to like 13, I think.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was a crazy discrepancy.
And the game was still tied.
Yeah, but, well, the Warriors were in a big fight, but it seems that Beck and Grossman are in one as well for the quarterback battle during the preseason. When we come back, we'll discuss that.
Don't read the teleprompter when in doubt.
Hi, this is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
Well, you've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know. What's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim. That was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
Check us out on iTunes, WallyO.Podbean.com, the website. Also iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search Urban Sports Scene. And email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. You can also catch Wally and possibly me on the Sports Crib on Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. BlogTalkRadio.com/WGSteelerFan. That show is hosted by West Coast Steeler Fan and Jersey Mike Jr., who left me on hold for like an hour last week.
Yeah,
but it's okay.
To say that. Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I don't hold grudges. It is
nah,
what
we
it
don't,
is.
We don't hold grudges.
But you're lucky on the West Coast, though.
Sound like it.
Because I do take folks' benefits from them. You know what I'm saying? I'm big enough to take AARP cards, whatever they call it. I'm talking about Steeler Fan, man. That was his fault.
But anyway, man, John Black, he played well against the Colts. Last Friday. John Beck.
Yes.
He's your guy? You think
I thought he was a good quarterback in BYU. I didn't think he would got a fair shot in Miami. With the Ravens, that doesn't really count. And I see promise in him. As I told Wally while he was watching it with me, that John Beck is a starting quarterback. And hopefully he proved it. I mean, he was accurate.
14-17.
Yeah, he was accurate. I mean, it's nothing more that you can ask from him.
He made all the throws that they asked him.
Exactly.
For 140 yards.
Exactly.
How many times did he throw for a 20-yard pass?
17.
Did he throw for a 20-yard pass?
I'm not sure.
Did Brady throw for a 20-yard pass?
At times.
Yeah.
Beck
was his first game, right?
Against the Colts.
And I think Ray told me
before. Before the show started, about AJ Feely having a good game against the Colts, who isn't good, and like lit up the Colts as well. So is he the Redskins? Could he be the Redskins starting quarterback?
So I'm gonna ask you this question: Beck played the game that he was supposed to play, correct?
That's true.
I mean, what do you want him to do?
All I'm saying is this game.
Ray, I'll ask you: What do you want John Beck to do after that performance?
He played good, and you can judge him and assess him off of that performance. He didn't ask to play the Colts. I totally agree with everything you're saying. But let's judge him after Thursday. That's all I'm asking.
I mean, let's judge him after Thursday.
I think it's too early to say.
Yeah, that's all I was trying to say.
But he did play well. I don't know how capable he is of being a starter 16 games. We haven't seen that except in Miami. So that's all we have to judge of.
But he did play well.
He's good.
He did better than what I thought he would do. That's all I can say. He did better than what I thought he would do.
I mean, you got to.
And we had that discussion before, Al.
You have to respect the guy because he said, even during the offseason, I'm the starting quarterback. Only thing I need is an opportunity. No, he said all I need is an opportunity.
I want you to say what you've been saying off the air. You know what I mean?
Beck is God in a Redskins jersey as a quarterback. To me, anyway, he's the best quarterback you guys have had in a long time, in my opinion.
Oh, that's just blasphemy.
Beck is a quarterback God. He is. He's great.
What? A lot of people are praising Shanahan in the local and national media because he is, I don't want to say, well, he's taking a group right now who is projected to underachieve. Maybe not even underachieve.
He's taking a group that doesn't have as much talent.
Which people think. Which the outside media thinks.
He's making them a nice cohesive unit during the first two preseason games.
They can beat the Giants, though. Okay, I will say that. They're going to be better than what people think. So, but I guess we'll get there. We're talking quarterbacks.
But what I'm saying with the Redskins is what they're giving credit for is that he doesn't have a high-name player. But if you look at our offensive line, we signed Jamal Brown for an extension. And coming from the Saints 2 years ago, he was a Pro Bowler. He's healthy now.
Oh, yeah.
We got a left tackle who was drafted in the top five.
So you own a piece of the Redskins?
Yes, I do, actually. I own stock.
Okay, all right. Yes. I just want to know.
I mean, does that make you feel better?
Yeah, it does. Okay.
Never again to show you challenge me. Sure. They know who I am, Wally. King Chopper Joe III. Please don't forget. Follow me.
The third.
Better say it. But anyway, like I was saying, but I'm looking at the Redskins offensively, our running back, Hightower, last season he averaged 4.5 yards per carry. He just had fumbling issues. If he holds the ball, we'll be fine. Our receiver, Santana Moss.
1,100
last year. Now we bring Gaffney, who played good in the Broncos. I mean, you look at it, I mean, we're set up to be decent. Now, if you look at our defense, we got a Rakpo on one end, we got Kerrigan on the other, we got two D tackles, new D tackles. I mean, we're looking like a strong team. We're looking like a strong team, and also you see the running back who we got, Halu, is that you pronounce? Halu from Nebraska.
And even Royster.
I don't know what's going on with Royster.
They're running a thing. They're doing a thing.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's never good to not let a running back run around.
Well, we'll see what Ryan Terrain does.
Yeah, I don't know what Terrain does. But all I'm saying is, don't be surprised if Redskins go 10-6.
Yeah, don't be surprised. You heard it here first from King Choppy Joe III.
Thank you very much.
I wouldn't be surprised, actually. They're flying under the radar big time right now.
I'd be surprised.
The Cowboys are a little overrated.
My quarterback's in the draft, next year's draft. So
you're a fool.
That's not going to happen.
You're a fool.
But you know what?
Barkley.
If Cincinnati is the worst team, which people are predicting, they're not going to draft Luck, correct?
No, you're incorrect. You are incorrect.
They will draft Luck?
Yes, they will.
Oh, Dalton, they would.
No one is going to – I'm going to tell you right now. No one is going to pass up Luck at the number one pick.
Unless they're
going
to trade him.
And I'm going to say this again. If Carolina – becomes the worst team, they would draft Luck. And I'm going to say this is the reason why. Let me explain. Before Cameron Newton became number one, in a mock draft that the season ended, he was the 10th to 15th pick. They sold him to number one because he's a quarterback. And he's not truly a number one pick quarterback. He's like DeMarcus Russell. DeMarcus Russell was not really a number one. But I'm saying he wasn't really quarterback. Everyone wanted Luck to come out and be number one. Carolina wanted Luck. When they didn't want Luck, they tried to trade it away. They're saying Luck is compared to as a can't miss, a.k.a. John Elway.
I have a question for you.
See, that's what I have a discussion with Peyton Manning being the number one. Because you remember they were talking about Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf.
I never thought it was a competition.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, if you talk about Luck, no one has questioned Luck to not be number one. That's the difference.
We have to move on, but real quick, could he be another Jake Locker, though?
Who, Luck?
Yeah.
I'm not high on Luck. But for some strange reason, I'm not an NFL scout. But if I was a Washington Redskins, I'd draft Luck because everyone says draft him. That's what I'm saying. Like, everyone's saying he can't miss. I mean, he has intangibles, and he studies the game. And that's the difference with most quarterbacks.
We'll see how he does with a new coach this year. What's the system is going to be the same. I've heard. Anyway, other than John Beck, who else stood out for us in the Redskins preseason game against the Indianapolis Colts? Fred Davis looks good.
He didn't stand out. No,
he looked. I'm just saying.
Physically.
Physically. He stands out. That makes me just reminds me, I should say, that he's serious about what he's doing. A lot of people question his work ethic when he was drafted. Tried to get in shape.
And like I'm going
to
say this again.
Well, he did get
like
in shape.
I told Wally. When he came out of high school, yes. Yeah, he was a wide receiver. He was out of shape, so USC moved him to a tight end. He's naturally been a wide receiver all his life. So there's no difference. Also, this is a contract year for him. He'll be a free agent next year, and he's looking for top dollars. It looks like even though Cootie's going to come back, he projected the first week. Fred Davis is supposed to do the two tight end system like New England. But I look at Fred Davis playing not for the Washington Redskins next year. He's playing for another team and trying to get a marquee free agent contract.
Now, for me, it was the rookie Ryan Kerrigan. He continues to impress and continues to improve. He's getting better in coverage. He can get there and stop the run. He got his first sack within the preseason. So I'm impressed with Ryan Kerrigan. He's actually doing what I thought he would do. Even though it's early in the preseason, I had an argument with somebody on the show before and said Kerrigan was bad and this, that, and the other. But he's looking good.
I didn't say
good.
He was bad.
I didn't say you. It wasn't you, actually.
It wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you. It wasn't him either.
It was my fellow?
Yeah. Not this one.
Huh?
Not Ray.
Not me.
Someone who's no longer with us.
Oh. Rest in peace. R.I.P. We don't miss you.
Wow.
All right, now what were you saying though? What were you impressed with the rookie? Were you impressed with anybody?
No, not really.
Okay.
Outside of John.
Tim Hightower, I guess.
Thank you. I would like to say the running back committee and the offensive line was outstanding.
In terms of run blocking.
In terms of run blocking.
Yeah, expected on the Shanahan.
Play. I mean, not last year, it really wasn't. I mean, if you looked at it, it was. The zone blocking was beautiful.
Was horrible. He inherited that. I'm not.
But you said, is that what you expected?
He's the one who chose Corey Lightensteiger
and Artis Hicks. I'm just saying, is that what you expect? I'm not saying that picked, happened last
no,
year.
No, that was the line wasn't horrible. He chose to make it horrible.
The line wasn't horrible.
No, he chose to make it horrible. My point is that
by not playing Dockery, he's playing Stephen Heyer.
Who's Stephen Heyer?
I don't know how he got a job. If you're a follower, don't follow us. You're the worst ever. I can't stand you.
Who's Stephen Heyer?
Fat.
Hey man, remember Big J from college? That's what he looks like in person. That dude might swallow you.
Oh no, I seen Stephen Howard before.
Yeah, that's a huge.
And I was
dude.
Like, you piece.
I don't know how
be,
he got a contract.
He might not be the catcher, but anyway, Baltimore. It's Thursday. This is where the real test comes. Historically, the Skins haven't done well against Baltimore since Tony Banks threw that infamous interception in the
preseason.
End zone. No, that wasn't preseason.
Regular season.
That was regular season. That's the last time, and that's the year the Ravens won the Super Bowl. As a matter of fact, so. I honestly expect the Redskins to finally struggle for extended periods of time in the game, especially with it being in Baltimore. Although it's going to be some Skins fans there, but that doesn't matter.
I think defensively defensively the Redskins will give the Ravens some problems. I think the Ravens offense hasn't been that spectacular in the preseason anyway. Joe Flacco hasn't come up to to what they thought he was going
to
be anyway.
Yeah, to me Flacco's kind of struggled without your former head coach and quarterback coach.
You never wanted him to get fired.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Jim Zorn, he did a lot for Joe Flacco last year as far as his progression and improvement.
Definitely.
Yeah, I see you see.
You got something to say?
Flabbergasted over there, right?
No, I'm not. He's good. He's not North Turner though. He's replaceable, man.
Jim Zorn? Oh, yeah, he's very replaceable.
He's very replaceable.
They wanted Flacco to take a step that he's medium. Didn't. Even though he got better under Jim Zorn, he didn't take that step. He didn't beat Pittsburgh in the playoffs, and Jim Zorn was.
Do you know it was Troy Polamalu that played for Pittsburgh Steelers?
Don't matter. You had Anquan Boldin. You still have.
Flacco played good. It was Humazada that made that drop.
But you know, his all around, his all.
It doesn't come
I mean,
out
other than
one
that
play.
One. Other than
it
one
was,
play.
It actually was that
no,
one
I'm saying,
play.
But in terms of the totality of the game, he didn't play well.
What's the knock on Flacco? You hit him and he starts to rattle.
And the big games, and it's show up in big games.
No, the playoffs, his numbers go down.
See, the knock on Flacco is that he just zones into one receiver. He doesn't. Observe the field yet, but he's only in his second year. I mean, now going to his third year.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I thought Zorn did an outstanding job with
no,
him.
No, I thought
I mean,
he did
progressed.
Too.
I mean, Zorn is just not a favorable coach in the market. No one really likes him. They blame Zorn.
Well,
no,
he's in Kansas City now with Matt Castle.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
But we'll see. But I'm just saying, like,
Matt
he
Castle may get better. I'm not knocking Jim Zorn, but he's not North Turner. My gracious.
He's a good quarterback coach. Not an offensive coordinator.
Yeah,
he's a good quarterback.
Or a head coach.
I just hate the way he talks. I don't know. I'm
stay medium. Stay medium. That's a little slogan.
Yeah, who does that?
I don't know.
Okay, who's starting quarterback?
That's what I want to know.
John Beck.
No, he hasn't announced it yet.
John Beck is going to start. We all know.
Were you at the camp?
Yeah, I was at the camp. I'm a part owner, much like yourself.
Oh, you were?
Yeah,
I was at the camp.
Huh? You were at the camp?
Late.
You know, you were late. You don't count. You're typical. That's all I got to say about that.
I don't have any facts. I don't have any inside knowledge, but I think John Beck is going to start.
I'm going to tell you right now, John Beck is not starting. I got a source from the league, from the Redskins. He's not starting.
Well, if John
Who's going to start then?
Well, if John,
Grossman's going to start.
But
I'm going to tell you why.
Okay, go ahead.
Because he does not want to ruin John Beck.
That's a good question.
And I'm going to tell you that right now.
Knew it. That's what I'm saying.
Grossman's going to start and look horrible. Beck is going to come in and save the day. But you heard it from me.
But if he, but
King Jabba to the third.
But if Beck starts, though, right? If Beck does start. Do you think he'll play well against the Ravens?
Against the Ravens? It's Ray Lewis, because Ray Lewis wasn't in the last game because he was a family issue.
I think he'll probably play.
I'm not too sure. Preseason game,
I'm going to say this about John Beck. He is going to play good, but the running game is going to play better because that's the key.
I don't think the running game is going to be that good for the Redskins.
Yeah, that's true. It's the running game because what it allows John Beck to do is do bootlegs. And John Beck is actually agile and mobile, so therefore the bootleg will work for his seven to 10 yard pass.
Good point.
I'm trying to tell you something. It's the running game. So either Grossman or Beck, it's going to be predicated to the running game, because no offense wants to play Baltimore going 3rd and 10, knowing that's a passing down. I mean, so take the quarterbacks out of it. The running game has to be the key. Therefore, the offensive line has to be the key, and that's the factor for the Washington Redskins, the offensive line.
And on Twitter, Big Man Paulie says, John Beck's the next Tom Brady without the model. And he says, yes, he thinks he'll play well against the Ravens.
Big Man Paulie?
Yeah.
Okay.
But to be honest, what quarterbacks actually play good statistically against the Ravens?
He's 30 years against old. Against the Ravens? There was a guy.
30. 30 years
week
old.
Week one of the preseason from Philadelphia, where's number 7. He actually played pretty good against the Ravens defense.
Oh, he did.
No, I'm just saying.
In preseason?
Yeah.
You talking about Michael Vick?
No. I'm talking about regular season. I'm saying normally.
Oh, normally.
Because this is supposed to be like a
dress rehearsal
regular
game.
Season
like
game.
Russell, yeah.
So I'm saying, like, I mean, I love Vick, but what I'm saying is what quarterback normally plays good against the Ravens?
No.
Tom Brady. He torches the Ravens.
Yeah, because he does that dink and dunk stuff.
Yeah, he torches them.
But that's what I'm saying. But you got Tom Brady who's top three.
I'm saying
Tom Brady who's top
Peyton
three.
Peyton even struggles.
Yeah, Peyton.
So he
struggles with him in the recent past.
I know.
But that's what
he
I'm saying.
He struggles in 3-4. So, he's not really, he's
so, so you
3-4.
Can't you can't expect
supposedly
to, you know, to go 17 for 20.
Oh, no. No,
but that's what I'm saying. Like, so if he has an average game against a top defense, he's good to go. Because if you look at the NFC East, the secondaries are weak. Terrell Thomas got injured for the whole season for the Giants.
Can you repeat that statement?
For the NFC East.
The secondary
is weak. Yeah. Okay, just because Philly has
Asamoah.
If you look like Asante.
Asamoah, Asante Samuel.
Oh, the Cowboys secondary sucks.
No, Kamani, yeah. you're trying to
Philly,
use him incorrectly.
They're using him incorrectly,
and they said it. And all the announcers said it. So the Philly act secondary look horrible. Your safeties are horrible.
My safeties aren't horrible.
Have you watched the games?
Yes, I've watched the games.
Big Ben torched up. I'm still on one side.
We're going to talk about that later, man. You're going too far ahead.
Okay.
We're going too far ahead.
I'm going to have this debate later.
But I'm saying, if you look at NFC East, the secondary is weak. And all I said is John Beck or Grossman.
In your opinion. Make sure you put it out in your opinion.
Yeah, also on Twitter, Humble Fighter says, like, freestyle cut to a certain extent. He says, against third stringers, yes, he'll think Beck looks good. If not.
Who said that?
A humble fighter.
Humble Fighter, shut up.
Dang.
Hey, it's all good. We appreciate the tweet.
Dang, we appreciate the tweet. We need our listeners. Thank you, sir.
We only got 25 of them.
That's okay. It's
like
good
evil.
For debate. No, it's good for debate.
Okay,
if they can't take that, they shouldn't be listening
to
our show.
Bottom line.
We're talking a lot about...
I'm not sensitive.
We're talking a lot about irrelevant quarterbacks. I'm sorry to say. No. Outside of D.C. area, sorry we bored you with the Grossman Beck talk.
So it's not boring. It's exciting. A lot of people like hearing about Beck and Grossman. All
right. Outside
ESPN.com.
Outside of DC, I don't know about that.
ESPN.com.
But one quarterback who has been in the talks everywhere, not just here, is Terrell Pryor. He got drafted yesterday. We come back, I'll explain why Cordell Stewart and Terrell Pryor could have something in common.
Urban Sports Scene.
Hey, what's up? It's your man Ray Rogers of the Urban Sports Scene. And recently, Will T and I set out on a mission to see what the people think of our show. All right, there's Mike Wilbon right there. Wilbon, what you think of our show, dog?
I should say the next, it's the big thing.
Oh, that's what's up. That's what's up, man. We feel the same way. Coach Rivers, Doc Rivers. There's Doc Rivers. Go ahead, Will T. Get an interview with him.
Coach Rivers, how do you feel about Ray no longer being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I mean, Ray, he was absolutely sensational.
Yeah. I feel the same way, man. I thought I was great as the host, but it's all good. Big ups to my man, Fish. There's Alvin Gentry, man. Coach Gentry. What you think about Fish being the host of the Urban Sports Scene?
I've always been a big fan of his.
Oh, so you're familiar with him before the Urban Sports Scene when he was host of the Mac Fish Show?
So no, I'm not saying that, okay? No.
So what are you saying? Anyway, man, let's move on. There's President Obama. Obama, my man Will T here, he dissed World Cup, man. What you think about him dissing World Cup?
He's a jackass.
Keep it locked to the Urban Sports Scene because you never know who's listening.
I invented sweat, popping bottles, putting supermodels in a cab.
You can listen to us on the Apple Juice Radio Show on Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/Apple Juice. Apple Juice is spelled APOGEEZS. The show is hosted by Vivian and Coach.
All right, yesterday.
I miss you, Apple Juice.
Yeah. They like you.
Yesterday, Terrell Pryor was selected. I hate that word. It's not my word, by the Oakland Raiders. A good move in my eyes because I wanted him to go to Pittsburgh. I wanted him to be kind of how Cordell Stewart was in the beginning of his career, slash playing a little bit of everything. Not Randall L, where he's just taken away from his quarterback position, maybe putting a wildcat or some crazy formations. But I thought Pittsburgh could use him well. He could have been behind Roethlisberger. He could have been traded Later down the line, I don't like Oakland at all. Ronald Curry went to Oakland and look what he became, a receiver.
I don't like Oakland for the specific reason that they say that he lacks work ethic. This is the reports that say he's hard to coach. I think Oakland doesn't have a culture that will help turn those things around.
Who was that coach again?
Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson.
Former. He used to be there too, as well. Two-time stint.
Oakland. He used to.
As long as Al Davis is there, obviously there's going to be some issues.
Exactly.
Now, Wally said before the show he can take Jason Campbell's spot. Jason Campbell is a very mild-mannered individual. Maybe he can teach Terrell Pryor how to be humble, how to, relax a bit.
Jason Campbell is 1 year left on his deal. So this is the last year remaining on his deal. So it's an opportunity for Terrell Pryor to get the opportunity to become a starting quarterback with the Oakland Raiders.
Well, I mean, to chime in, Oakland did say that he is going to be a quarterback. They say he's not going to be a receiver. He's going to be a quarterback. This guy. But the problem is, what you say, Jason Campbell, he could take Jason Campbell's position. I don't see that. Oakland is just a horrible organization, to be honest. Like they don't know what they're doing. They draft speed, and that's why they drafted him. If you just look at the speed, you know they just draft fast people. When he ran a 4.36, and they said a 4.41, some people clocked him at that. He's an athlete. I mean, he's an athlete, but he's not really a receiver because he doesn't come in and out of his routes. I mean, on a shuffle, they said he timed very, very slow.
Can I say on another note that I was thoroughly entertained by that fight in the crowd? Like, there was no breaking it up. They were going for it. Nobody was falling.
I didn't even see the fight.
It was much more than the Georgetown fight.
Sports are going crazy, I'm telling you.
But did y'all not like that fight?
You have to
see it. It was slow punches. They were slow.
But to be honest,
all fat people.
It doesn't matter. But they were brawling.
They were like this. One dude was like this. They were turning. Okay, right. Like right there. It's like left and right. They're moving all different angles, throwing punches.
I have to YouTube it, I guess.
Yeah,
you have to.
You gotta
see. But to be honest, it's nothing new about fans fighting inside the stadiums. I think just because that the guy.
Remember we went to Redskins Cowboys game.
Yeah, the only reason why it's magnitude because that guy got put in a coma for San Francisco. But it's nothing. It's nothing new. There's a lot of people fighting in the stadium, especially on rival games.
Now that might be true, but shootings after the game, come on.
That's crazy. That was crazy.
That was crazy.
But they just going in.
Even in preseason, I think it's really magnitude because of what happened in the San Francisco baseball game.
Yeah, exactly.
Like people now think it's cool to fight inside the stadium and they're escalating even more because usually it's just been because of the liquor. You know, the liquor kicking in. But now, but shooting, it's not involved with the liquor. Just people being ignorant.
Like something else. I'm not gonna say what, but they were Hispanic and they weren't. It's not average.
But they did
Caucasian
say,
cowboy they did say, fan is yeah. twisted.
No, but they did say it was gang related. They believe it was gang related. The shooting. They said believe was gang related.
It looked like it.
But back to Pryor. I mean, let's go back to
Good way to get the show back on.
But back to Pryor. I don't really like him as a quarterback. I mean, I watched him in Ohio State. I mean, he's not really a good quarterback. You know, his mechanics are very, very slow. Even though he ran he doesn't really play fast. You know, he doesn't play fast at all.
He doesn't have that burst.
He doesn't.
Stop using that word, man.
He doesn't have the burst. I mean,
you know what? That makes me think because he was supposed to be what Cam Newton is, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, coming out of high school, he was the number one quarterback.
Yeah, thank goodness Michigan didn't get him. They got Denard Robinson. It looks like he's going to be better.
Denard Robinson is going to play another position.
In NFL, he will. Denard Robinson will play. Kickoff return.
No, I like Terrell Pryor. I think Terrell Pryor is a project quarterback. If Tim Tebow can get a job, you can work with Terrell Pryor.
Tim Tebow is about to not have a job.
No, I'm saying, though, if you can give him an opportunity, like he's had an opportunity. That's my thing. Tim Tebow has been given an opportunity. Now, he's not good enough. That's on him. But Terrell Pryor deserves an opportunity, to be an NFL quarterback.
But I mean, I'm glad that he did get it because, you know, when a black person is fast as a quarterback, he's a receiver or kickoff return.
Brad Smith.
You know, but if a Caucasian is fast, he's a good quarterback. I mean, it's quite unfortunate, but that's how it is. I mean, black people are looked at as athletes while Caucasians look as intelligence. But that's what
it
is.
I mean, not necessarily. Eric Crouch.
Your opinion?
Yeah.
Eric Crouch was moved to.
No, I mean, I'll tell you what Caucasian.
Eric Crouch was moved to. was moving to a safety. Remember him from the
Yeah, he was.
Eric so Carl. It happened.
Yeah, no, but Matt,
Matt Wilson.
No, but I'm about to explain what Eric Count. He didn't throw at all in Nebraska. I'm gonna be honest. He didn't throw at all in Nebraska, so that's different. But Matt Jones, he said he wanted to be a receiver.
Oh, okay.
That's the difference. Coming into the draft, you know, coming to the draft, someone has never played a position like before. They said Cam Newton, like while he was in the senior league. I mean, when he was in college, they said, oh, coming to the pros, he might be a receiver. He's never played a receiver. But then the coach allowed him to throw the ball more. See, people forget about that. He was running the ball throughout, like first five, six games. So then after they said that, he was like, I'm going to let you throw the ball to show what you can do. That's a big difference, and it's quite unfortunate. That's supposed to happen to Tebow as well. But
real quick, I want to throw something in there because I made the comparison with Terrell Pryor and Cam Newton. Now, they weren't teammates in college, but a lot of people are teammates in college who one shines over the other, and especially professionally. I came up with a list. I'll use the football examples. I actually pair Ocho Cinco with Steve Smith. I think Ocho Cinco has been a bigger star. Y'all can argue that probably.
In college,
but,
you mean? I'm talking about when they
no,
college.
I'm just saying that I think Ocho Cinco has been a bigger
star.
JUCO. Still teammates.
He's a former teammate.
Cadillac Williams has not been bigger than Ronnie Brown, but in college I think he was.
Yeah.
They've been.
I mean, it was close, but yes, he was, yeah.
Ed Reed and what's the racist corner?
Philip
Buchanan. Philip Buchanan was the star on that defense, in my opinion.
No, he was not.
Ed Reed wasn't.
You're clearly wrong.
He wasn't bigger than Philip.
Ed Reed was bigger than Philip Buchanan. Ed Reed was bigger than Philip Buchanan.
And obviously, I got some basketball examples like Darren Williams, D. Brown, which is
Darren Williams was
obvious
bigger.
No, D. Brown.
D. Brown's
a star. D. Brown's a star.
Yeah.
Look at scoring.
No, he was a star. D. Brown was a star. He was the player.
He recruited Darren Williams. Darren Williams went there because of him.
D. Brown was a star.
Also, another football example, Matt Leiner and Matt Castle. Matt Castle didn't even play in college and became a bigger star than Matt Leiner.
It's quite a shame.
it's the truth.
But a USC starting quarterback, not shocking.
Steve Blake, Juan Dixon.
That's
why you like Steve.
Look at his face.
Steve Blake has become a bigger star than Juan Dixon.
Look at him.
That's a damn travesty. I'm going to say that right now. Juan Dixon was like that.
I'm sorry. Anyway,
No. I'm gonna start right there. Juan Dixon should have been an all-star. Steve Blake should be bagging my groceries. I mean, honestly, you can't tell me nothing good about that guy. Like, seriously, he should be bagging my groceries. Plastic or paper.
Why did you mention that?
I mean, seriously. Even Lonnie Baxter was better. Like Steve Blake wasn't good. The point guard for St. John's that year, Haskin or something, he's from Baltimore. He was a better point guard. Didn't get drafted at all. Forget it. It's racist. That's all what it was. It's purely racist. That's why he got drafted. He was looking for the great white hope. Racist. He did not deserve to be in the league continuously. It's utterly ridiculous. He doesn't play any defense. That's why LA lost, because he doesn't have any defense. He can't move laterally. Why sign him?
All right, sorry. I apologize out there, but
paper plastic, see, Blake.
We'll move on to the dream, the quote unquote dream team, the Philadelphia Eagles. How do you top that? Poor outing against the Steelers. Obviously, I know Wally made a point to put that in the production notes about the Eagles having a quote unquote poor outing against the Steelers. Should Eagles fans be concerned after a preseason game?
As an Eagles fan, I'll give you my opinion. No, you shouldn't. It's a preseason game, one. Two, you could tell that the Eagles didn't game plan for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but the Pittsburgh Steelers did game plan for the Eagles. You could tell, just for the play selection.
Speaking as a fan, go ahead.
Yeah, speaking as a fan. Just my opinion. These are all my opinions. These are opinions of William
T. Shorter.
No, I didn't want to say my whole government, but you put it out there anyway.
My apologies. I'll take it out.
No, it's all good.
T stands for triathlon.
Michael Vick, he made a couple of questionable
throws.
Bonehead throws. You know, he thought just because, okay, I'm Michael Vick, I got a rocket for an arm, I can squeeze it in there. No, not always. Asante Samuels.
Bites on everything.
Yeah, he does. He bites. Yeah, on pump fakes. He definitely bites on pump fakes all the time. He has to, because his aggressive nature, you might want to have to roll a safety over top of him if you want to put him on the outside. But I still think, you know, like I said, this is only second preseason game. We got a lot of things. We're trying to get the cohesiveness and everything, get everything sorted out.
No, I'm not mad at Michael Vick's performance. I think Michael Vick looked at it as preseason. I think he played it as his preseason. I think he was trying to make a special play because it's preseason. I think Absolutely. If it was a regular season game, he wouldn't have made some of those throws. He wouldn't have tried to complete some of those throws. But in terms of the defensive side of the ball, I do think there's issues. The linebackers are weak right now for the Eagles, and they consistently. And if you look at the how the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line manhandled their down four. It was ridiculous. I mean, they have some work to do on that line, and in terms of linebackers.
We didn't have our starting defensive tackle.
But I'll say this though. The Eagles will be strong in rushing the passer, but they'll be very light in stopping the run.
Go ahead, Ray.
Eagles fans are more concerned about Andy Reid than people think, in Philly especially. I have a lot of family in Philly. They don't like Andy Reid. Andy Reid, I believe there's a
It's true, but I think it's the dumbest thing.
It's not the dumbest thing. He's
the winningest coach in
so
the
what?
Eagles
with zero rings. It's a quiet arrogance.
Okay, this is my thing. This is the argument I have with Eagles fans all the time. Okay, if you're going to get rid of Andy Reid, who are you going to bring in that's going to be able to continue at, who that's going to be get us to play at the same level or greater?
Well, you know what? I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I say. But so all
he,
the
okay, he can be on all Marty Schottenheimer team. I don't care. I don't like Andy Reid either though, because look at the
why because
look
he
at
beats the Falcons.
It's not a big deal. A lot of people beat the Falcons over the years. We have the same things. You have zero rings, so it doesn't even matter. Anyway, hold up. You made me forget.
Okay, we'll come back to you.
No, hold up. Running backs, Ronnie Brown, and who's the other running back you have? LeSean McCoy. Good running backs.
Yeah,
but he's so arrogant that he's going to refuse to utilize them as they should be used.
He utilizes them as they should be used in the passing game.
He's going to throw a whole lot of passes, and that's not who Vic is. Vic can't even understand the playbook fully, and he's been studying it for how long now? This is 3 years? It's a very sophisticated playbook is what he said.
It's a sophisticated offense.
He's slowly starting to become himself again, by the way. You saw the interview. People don't understand my culture, you know what I'm saying? Now you know what I'm saying coming in. Because he's starting having to do these humane society speeches and things. He's still the same Michael Vick. He's slowly getting it. As soon as he gets that big contract, he's going to mess y'all up. Watch. I'm telling
so.
You. And Andy Reid needs
hate.
To change his culture.
That's hate.
He has to change his culture.
Okay. That's hate.
He has to. Eagles fans are concerned about Andy Reid, and they have. If he doesn't win it this year, he should be fired.
No, he shouldn't.
Okay.
Steve Blake.
Okay, with the Eagles, I don't think it's anything to worry about. The defense, I mean, Santi Samuel, he's always been the same, so there's nothing new about that. The only thing I would be worried about is Cromartie. You guys are using – well, the Eagles are using him incorrectly. He's not a blitzer at all. So trying to make him as a safety, a.k.a. Woodson, that's not the ideal thing for him. Vic throwing interceptions really doesn't bother me. He was playing against Pittsburgh, a top defense. He does have challenges playing against a top defense.
Yeah.
But luckily for him, he's in the NFC. It's not a lot of defense good in the NFC, to be honest.
Yes.
So, I mean, to be honest, he's okay. But your D-line, it goes after the quarterback, but it doesn't stop the run. And that's the factor. Colin Jenkins, he's a pass rusher. Trent Cole is a pass rusher.
Jason Babin's a pass rusher.
Pass rusher. Peterson is a run stopper, but with his health issues, I don't know what's going on with him.
Nah, he's back.
Yeah, he's back. Yeah, but I'm saying, but he's the only run stopper because he doesn't really push.
Antonio Dixon.
The one we used to have.
Yeah.
In camp.
Yeah, he's not. Tackles. Yeah,
he's a run stopper.
He's a run stopper, but Colin Jenkins going to be in the game more. That's what I'm saying.
No, actually, because Mike Peterson and Antonio Dixon are starters. Or our starting defensive tackles.
No, Colin Jenkins is a starter.
No, he's not.
Yes, he
Check
is.
The depth chart.
Which depth chart do you look at?
On the Eagles website.
I can't gamble because of Ray. Not on this show.
We can put money on it.
What do you want to put?
A burger.
But here's the thing. I'm not going to look at the Eagles. I'm going to look at the starting of the regular season.
Yeah, on their depth chart.
No. I'm talking about.
Depth charts can't change.
It can't change. That's
can't
what
change.
I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, he said what he said.
At the regular season. This is the thing, because Colin Jenkins didn't get into camp in the beginning.
That's true.
You know that,
so
right?
So he might not be the official depth chart.
He didn't get in the camp when it first started.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, but that's
the
what
depth
I'm
chart that's on the Eagles website.
I'm talking about
this week.
I'm talking about starting. Week one.
This is week one. All I can go off is the depth chart now.
I don't know.
St. Louis Rams.
What a joke.
Where's it at? Where's the game at?
I think
and the Redskins play the Giants.
Exactly.
The Redskins have a brutal schedule, by the way. Yes, they do. Harder than the Eagles schedule and Atlanta, to be honest. And we both went.
Whose fault is that?
The NFL.
It's not ours. Yeah, it's the NFL.
That's why James Harrison needs to find Goodell and
do some things to him.
Anyway, is that enough talk about the Eagles? Because it was a dead silence. I know we have Jeremy Backman on our production notes. But
he's really not important to talk about.
He's an Eagles fan, man.
What?
With Jeremy Maclin.
Jeremy Maclin, he's recovering from his illness.
So him not missing all the camp, how is it going to impact your squad?
I think he's going to be, he's going to have to find his legs. But I don't think he'll play for week one, but I don't think he'll be playing at the level that he played at last year until maybe like week three, just because he's missed so much practice.
I don't think it's going to be that big of a factor because
Steve Smith.
No, not Steve Smith. Steve Smith's not going to be ready until like week five. Cooper. Vic Reed loves Cooper. Yeah, Vic Reed loves Cooper and Avant.
Cooper. Avant, oh, what a joke.
No, Cooper's good, actually. I'm not going to lie.
Riley Cooper's pretty good.
Good. And Avant, with his inside, the slot, I mean, I don't see. Only thing Maclin's going to. Maclin was good for, you know, the deep routes that allow Avant to have one-on-one coverage, but I still think he's going to have one-on-one coverage. And like I said, with Vic, you have to have a spy. So therefore, you're going to have one-on-one coverage with someone. Either Selleck, the tight end. And also, I think Andy Reid will run the ball a little bit more.
I think he might be high.
The reason why I say he is going to run the ball a little bit more is because Vic is known to get injured often, and you don't have a backup.
Yeah, Vince Young.
Like I said, you don't have a backup.
Hey, say it again.
You don't have a backup.
He said there's no backup.
Vince Young is a star.
But to be honest, that's why I feel like he's going to run the ball more, because Vic is known to get injured. He can't take a lot of hits.
He looked bad too in that preseason game. Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Kafka.
And he was playing against the second team.
Mike Kafka looked pretty
Sexy
good.
Rex beat up the second team.
Vince Young. First game looked good. Okay, second game looked bad. It happens.
Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, you ain't saying nothing about his first game.
I think Vince Young, he's about partying. I don't think he's athletic. I don't think right now he's professional yet. I think he's still.
Fat.
Stop hating.
Yeah, he's correct. He is out of shape.
Fat and depressed.
Dang, I ain't say
depressed. No, Ray hates on Vince Young.
I hate on Vince Young. Anyway, we'll move on to a team that should have signed Matt Hasselbeck, the Cleveland Browns. They signed left tackle Joe. Yes, they should have.
McCoy is playing outstanding.
Yeah, he is. He's balling.
Oh, here we go.
He's balling. But he's balling.
He was balling last year.
They balling in the last year. This year,
McCoy is good.
You see progression.
If Sam Bradford is going to be good, I knew McCoy was going to be good.
Sam Bradford is better than McCoy.
I'm telling you one thing. McCoy is better than Sam Bradford.
Hell no.
Sam Bradford plays in a dome.
No.
Sam Bradford plays in a dome.
Get out of here.
I'm trying to tell you.
Get out of here.
McCoy is better.
The quarterback that was going
to
be ranked.
I think in Cleveland, this offense is more tailored to Colt McCoy.
The quarterback that was going to be ranked over, like, Matthew Stafford, if he didn't get hurt, and McCoy's better than him?
Yeah.
Hell no.
You just said Matthew Stafford was horrible when we spoke yesterday. I mean, a couple days ago.
I do think he's horrible, but I'm saying.
I mean, so your terminology means nothing.
He's a first-round pick. He's the first pick overall.
Oh, come on, man.
He can still have a bum shoulder and still get number one pick. Come on, man.
You guys are kidding me. Colt McCoy is blessed week one, and he has the Bengals. I will say that. However, he plays Pittsburgh and Baltimore four times.
I'm saying is during this preseason, he's lit it up. That's all I'm
saying.
Say.
Why do you think he needed to sign
Danny Werfel lit it up in preseason.
All I can go off is
stop
is
mentioning
now.
Like Redskin players. Like, slick. Right, Danny Werfel.
Who can I mention for my own
Shane
team?
Matthews. Jeez.
Like Michael Bishop used to light up in preseason.
Who for New England?
Yeah, he used to fry in preseason.
All I'm saying is all we can go off of is now, like, this offense, the West Coast offense, is tailored to his strength.
All right, I'm sorry. You know what? I've messed the show tonight. Keep me off for another 2 weeks. The Browns, who, like I said, they should have signed Hasselbeck.
They shouldn't have.
All right, sorry. The Browns, Mike Holmgren-led Browns, Brett Favre's team, who's been mentoring Colt McCoy, they signed left tackle Joe Thomas to a deal yesterday. They made the highest paid offensive lineman in NFL history. What were they thinking? Is he the best in the game?
Yes. Left tackle? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what he came to the league.
You know what? Honestly,
absolutely. I think he's the best left tackle.
Maybe because he doesn't talk and say nothing. He doesn't get interviewed. Joe Thomas doesn't get interviewed.
Honestly,
I mean, I thought I was shocked by the money.
Left tackle.
He's left tackle.
He's better than DeBrick Shaw. I don't know.
Yeah, he is way better than DeBrick
Shaw. See, this is the thing when people don't toot their own horn, or when they're not in front of the camera a lot, people aren't going necessarily.
I love Joe Tom. He's been good from day one.
Yeah, I'm saying since he walked in, Pro Bowl, he walked in.
And he's on the Browns too. So yeah, he gets. That's
why he's not getting a lot of love.
Yeah, because the Browns.
I agree with that.
But what I'm saying, I don't think the Browns needed to pay him that much.
No, I'm not saying 84 mil is a lot.
That's what I'm saying.
For a tackle,
like they didn't need to pay him that
isn't
much.
Like how much like Tony Bassetti got paid back in the day? He got paid a lot.
He got
wasn't one of the highest paid. Yeah,
but you can do it though. Think about it. Who's your star receiver? Josh Cribbs, maybe. But, yeah, Peyton Hillis. No,
your
payroll is not that big.
No, it's not.
Give the man some money.
But it's not that big. But generally, when you pay your left tackle that high, your quarterback is. You know,
I give your quarterback situation.
Like you're setting the market.
But yeah, but what I'm saying is like I understand they signed their left tackle was their quarterback was Peyton Manning or Tom Brady, but like you pay your left tackle to protect your greatest asset.
Yeah,
McCoy. Joshua Cribbs is the greatest asset.
Maybe they might be in room for Andrew Luck. Maybe we'll see.
No, McCoy.
Oh no, Cleveland's gonna win games. Cleveland has good defense too. I don't know what happened with Ryan leaving though.
And they beat us last year.
You know, what? Like,
threw a bomb on them too. We ain't throw bombs all season anyway. To heal some wounds, see Redskins are used to that big spending thing not working out. So I understand why you're a little apprehensive about them giving Joe Thomas that money. I would be honest. I'm not Will T at all. I'm just. All right, now we gotta bring up Tim Tebow.
It's Isles, man.
Unfortunately,
Tim Tebow is actually. All this stuff is getting to him. I think he's being tested.
Yeah, it is.
You know, it's very easy when you're winning, when you're the best, the most popular guy. Say, oh yeah, I love Jesus. But when you face, no, hold up, don't get it twisted. Y'all already know where I stand. You know, I'm a firm believer and I have faith in God. But when you're tested, that's when people really see what you're made of. Yeah. And you know, Colt McCoy, when his shoulder hurt. Even though he was sad about it in the national championship game, he said, I'm standing on the rock. I'm putting my faith in the Lord. This is what the Lord meant for me to happen. But Tim Tebow, you don't hear anything about God mentioned. Look at the Twitter page. It's not a whole lot of Jesus tweets.
I'll say this. Without any test, there can't be a testimony. I think he has to go through this and to better himself to prove what?
Become a tight end.
Come on. Exactly.
No, I'm not going to say by no means do I think he's a starter in the NFL. By no means at all. I think he has to go through this just to prove, because he's had so many peaks and during his in college.
Oh, in college.
Yeah, he's had so many peaks during his college. Now it's a tough time. How are you going to respond?
Well,
what are you going to do?
Are you going to buckle down and work harder? He has worked hard. He just isn't good.
Yeah.
And you know,
I agree with Al.
Shout out to Joel Osteen, man. He's changed you, man. You make a positive spin on everything. Yeah. He's not a quarterback.
Yeah. But to disagree with this, Willie Vasuda. Says give Tebow two more seasons and he can be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
But he was a first round pick.
He shouldn't have been.
He shouldn't have been. See, this is the thing. This
Josh
is
Josh McDaniels.
See, this is the thing. You call the Rams and you say Josh McDaniels, you're considered boy genius. Give us a fifth round pick for him. You took him. Give us a fifth round pick so we could be done with him.
St. Louis.
Yes.
They got Sam Bradford.
Hey, you need a backup.
I just find it amazing that with the word. Great being thrown around so much in the NFL. It's now being misused. Every time you look on TV, somebody's great. Drew Brees is great. That's my point. See, that's my point. And now
you got that look like you, Josh Freeman, like we just mentioned Steve Blake or something.
Josh,
I'm not too high on
Drew Brees. I knew.
Like I said, the Saints offense has changed without Reggie Bush. I'm so excited.
No doubt. Josh Freeman is quote unquote the next great young quarterback.
I think
it's amazing. So Tim Tebow, if you can't even if they saying he's not even going to be a good quarterback, it's a sign.
He can't
with
even
the word
beat out
being
Brady Quinn. Ray
Quinn's improved right now. He's improved. He's looked way better than the last couple of years.
Brady Quinn is considered. Yeah, Brady Quinn is considered a bust, a first round bust.
He wasn't a first round, was he? I think he went to second.
Second. He went second.
Second round.
Second. No, he's second. Remember, he had that long wait in the back.
He was second round.
No, I'm going to tell you why. Because he came out the same year as Joe Thomas, and they traded back up into
round. He was late first.
He traded back up into the first round.
Maybe. You might be right. People like Kevin Carr are flying under the radar because Tim Tebow is getting so much love.
in the media, not in a good way, but it's just too much attention on a scrub.
Yeah, I think he got to cut him.
I remember having a conversation with Little Boy. I said, Little Boy, I was you. We saw a lot of good people when we were kids. Todd Day, Tommy Frazier, these people we looked up to. But they had no...
Charlie Ward.
Charlie Ward could have played.
Yeah.
NFL. He could have played in the NFL as a quarterback. However, we saw a lot of players like that. We were kids. We looked up to a lot of good college players. But adults knew at the time there was no future for them in the league. And I told this little boy, you remember, dude? He said, he won back-to-back national championships. Oh, he's talking about,
yeah.
No, now I'm proving my point. Hopefully, little dude is like...
Tim Tebow. No, he didn't win one.
Not back-to-back, but he won two of them.
Two of them, yeah.
And that was...
He won one.
Well, he was on the roster. Man.
He's mad. He hates looking at his face. Look at his face.
He didn't win it. Lee won it. Be real about it.
He was
so great. First of all,
here
goes. I was waiting for y'all to finish it. All right. This big I love Jesus from Tebow. I am Jesus. He's not, man. That's what I'm tired of people just glorifying this guy. I'm telling you, he has done some dirt and it's about to come up. It is about to come up.
Tiger Woods-esque, you think?
Nah, not even that. Not that far. But I'm trying to tell you, he is...
A Ponzi scheme? What do you mean?
He's not perfect. And he's about to come up.
Nobody is perfect.
Shoot. To the media, Tebow is. How to be a backup being the highest selling jersey?
I don't know.
He's a good guy.
I mean, we live in a
No, he's not that good of a guy.
We live in a culture that accepts mediocrity.
And it came out, maybe think 2 or 3 weeks ago when he said, I'm upset. I'm upset about not starting. I'm sorry. Most of us gotta work for what we get. He just wants to have it. Thank you. Thank you, man. Thank you, John Elway. I knew it. When John Elway, I was like, it's done for Tebow. Fullback.
Well, look.
Okay. H-back.
College football could use a guy.
Tight end. Oh, he might be a coach.
No, it's for Florida Gators. Twitter response. Will had a question. Years. It's answering Will's Twitter response.
It might be Jim Zorn.
Nah. Will, you saying that he should get cut?
Absolutely. I think you should. I think the longer you hold this guy around on your team, it just becomes a bigger distraction because the fans are going to start saying, oh, let's say Kyle Orton struggles.
Mm-hmm.
Brady Quinn.
Then let's say Brady Quinn struggles.
Then you got to go
with Tim Tebow. So the longer you keep this guy around, it's a distraction not only in Denver, in their locker room, but in the national media.
But the thing is, for Denver.
I think you cut him. Because this is what I'm saying. Like, the guy's a first-round pick. So, obviously, in 2 years, if he hasn't shown you that he can be a starting quarterback in the NFL, you just say, all right, we don't want him around as a distraction. Let's just cut our losses and be done with.
And this is obviously Tebow's fan response. 365 on Twitter, 365, 366, Inc. Nope. He said the cap hit. It would be a cap hit, so just trade Tebow. Let me trade Quinn, excuse me.
No, you don't do that.
What was his name?
365,
366,
Inc.
To quote Al. Shut up, 366 Inc. No, you don't do that. You don't do it. You just don't do it. No, you just don't do it.
Is that what
you cut the guy? You say.
I'm about to say, what type of name is that?
This is the thing. You're not going to get the Denver Broncos are going to hold out for value. You're not going to get the value you want for him. So, in order for him not to be a distraction, so you don't lose your locker room. You cut him. You don't have any use for the guy. Just cut him. Just take the $8 million hit and get rid of him.
Well, the perception of Tim Tebow is he's a good guy, no matter what you think, Al. And NCAA could use some good guys right now because there have been number of scandals. Ohio State, now Miami. We're talking Nevin Shapiro and the death penalty. We'll see. Urban Sports Team.
Find something to eat, Al.
This is President Barack Obama. In the story of America, the greatest chapters are moments of challenge. When we see people serving their country and one another, volunteers who step forward into hospital corridors and church basements, along levees and fire lines, and the next chapter is yours to help write. Sign up to volunteer at usaservice.org. That's usaservice.org. Let's renew America together.
A message from Renew America Together, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Wendy's natural puff fries and banging, especially like at night when you're hungry. Taco Bell has a potato burrito too.
Are we sponsored by Taco Bell?
No,
they follow us on Twitter though. So.
I don't think they still do, but they
does
do.
NFL Rezone still follow us on Twitter?
Because of my tweet about Brett Favre.
Yeah, you pretty much ruined that for us.
That's okay, you've never been on Twitter.
I know, right? So how you gonna say something?
So thanks for your blog. Thanks for all the things that you do, man.
Yeah,
thanks for,
like Doc Walker.
Yeah, exactly.
Where's Doc Walker at?
You know, thanks for your great quote. Thanks for the
the deal you messed up, and we were getting about to get paid some money.
I didn't mess up.
We need to ask them for more money. They don't respond to us, man. We could have got some new microphones. You hear how we sound? This is distorted. This is like Hustle and Flow, man.
Wally, you was with me.
I was with you.
You got a whole lot of strikes, man. I ain't gonna lie.
I'm putting us in the best position. We're gonna start calling you
pins.
I agree with you. I agree with you, man. We weren't gonna get used. We weren't gonna get used by nobody.
You can't swim. We can be used.
Look at you. Good you. It's quite unfortunate.
What was that?
All right, I'll
Cause you paused. We gotta keep it going.
20-second timeout. You know what? Al, let's lead it in.
Cause I said it. You guys messing up.
Before the break, I mentioned that we were gonna discuss Miami. Nevin Shapiro, who I can't understand for the life of me. He's made a living lying, obviously. I don't get boosters. They don't get any return from what they do.
Yeah, maybe somebody on Twitter or Facebook, you can answer this question for me. What exactly do boosters get out of giving large amounts of money to the program and the players?
Unless it's an opportunity for a tax write-off, similar to what Jerry Jones, his friend, I was about to call him homeboy, did for Oklahoma State.
That sounds good.
Gave $250 million for that program. They get new facilities, recruit better players. But Nevin Shapiro was getting nothing out of this except for maybe women, I don't know, in the club who, you know, Miami is like, they were bigger than the Dolphins at the time, when he was doing all this. But anyway, you know, I guess what are our general thoughts of the scandal? Al, obviously you had a lot to say, but got stuck, so.
I didn't get stuck. It was a dramatic pause. No drama. Okay, now first of all, with the U, it's quite unfortunate that, you know, the kids aren't getting paid legally. What's going on with this scandal is going on throughout sports. If you know a friend that played college football, played college basketball, I'm telling you, they have received some type of benefits. It might not have been monetary up to $5,000, but it could have been a free movie ticket. It could have been free to the party. That is a violation to the NCAA. But what the problem is with Shapiro is that when he had legal issues, no one stepped up for him and supported him. So he was just vindictive. But what the issue is regarding what does boosters get?
Yeah.
Well, they get privileges.
Yeah, that, I understand you get access.
No,
to the
but
program.
That's the thing. Some people, just like how people follow Kim Kardashian because she's an entertainer. And if you,
she's not an entertainer.
But let's people follow her. She is. People follow her.
He wanted
to be part of that circle. And by paying the players, being in that circle, so anytime he went out, they knew of him. He actually did. He owned a marketing firm as well, so he was an agent for a couple of the players. So he did receive some type of benefits. My issue with this is that it goes back to USC, Southern California, Reggie Bush. The NCAA went ham on USC.
By ham, you mean hard as a mother?
Yes. It was quite unfortunate because they said Reggie Bush should have been looked closely because he was a star player.
A lack of institutional control.
Yes. So they're saying every star player in college sports should have a special investigation. Tim Tebow, Percy Harvin, Sam Bradford. Everyone with that high magnitude, high profile player should have that. The USC person that took Bush was not even affiliated with the school. Shapiro was affiliated with the school. Now, that's the issue. He was affiliated with the school. He had a plaque in the library. He was shown on the field coming out with the players. He was with the skybox, with the president. So is a death penalty going to happen? It should. If USC got punished like that, why not? And the dean at the time was part of the person that punished USC. I forgot that fat person's name, Pat something. And he punished USC with these accusations, but he was the dean of University of Miami at this time. So if you look at it, the scandal is bigger than just Shapiro snitching on kids. It's the NCAA period. Now they say they got to change the scope of it. Pay them.
NCAA turns their heads a lot, I believe, as well to a lot of these things because they're making money.
Exactly.
Now, the death penalty should be based on what Vince Wilfer took alone, in my opinion. Because I don't have a problem with Andre Johnson. Yeah, you got in a club, you got some drinks, so what?
Yeah.
Big deal. That happens all the time. And the NCAA knows this. However, it's being magnified now, obviously, because he spoke out against so many people. And you got current players at that.
Yeah, 15 current players.
Was it Harris? Harris is involved in it, too?
Jacoby Harris.
Yeah, Jacoby Harris is involved. He's the
quarterback.
He's the big name for right now. But he's probably going to get suspended, something like Terrell Pryor. But here's the big thing. If you look back from last year, Terrell Pryor was suspended for 5 games coming up now. But he was allowed to play in a bowl game, which they generated over $50 million. The NCAA wreaked that. And that's the issue, is that, of course, you can suspend him for the 5 games no one cares about. But they still want to make sure that they get paid. And you look at the Texans program, they have a network with ESPN over $300 million for 20 years. University of Texas. They have a network for ESPN. It's not about – the network has – it's not showing the spelling bee. It's not showing the science fair. It's showing sports. So you're telling me the best business in the world is if I don't have to pay my employees, I'm netting profit no matter what. Yeah. And that's what's happening. So you get upset for someone to pay the players.
Let me interject. What about and I don't believe this, the person who says that they get a free room and board scholarship?
That's absolutely nothing to me. I mean, if you look at it, the room and board for a campus, let's go with the U. It's a private school. So let's say it was about $30,000, all right? Let's say it's $30,000 that they got a year. I'm sure they'd rather take that in cash. That's what I'm saying. These players.
But what about the person who says, okay, when they decide to move off of campus, they get a living stipend?
Oh, which doesn't cover anything.
It covers their basic needs and their food, all of their.
It's a lot of different arguments out there, and they're going to be endless. But when you think about it, everybody documents how a lot of these kids come from poor backgrounds. Room and board is very important when you come from those type of backgrounds. You think some of the things that they don't receive and food and where they live is not much better than where they came from.
Well,
you got to be kidding me. It is. They're getting an education that we can't get.
But
and they have worse grades SAT scores than we do.
I'll say this: like, I hate when people make the argument about these kids come from poor, economically depressed background. Because just because you're poor doesn't mean you should lack morals. If there are rules set in place that
totally agree.
You shouldn't. Take money, totally. And I think, I'm gonna say this. I think that the players should get paid. They should find a way to pay the players somehow. But to me, when people make the argument that these kids come from poor, economically depressed backgrounds, they come from one parent households, that's bull. It's a slap in the face. It's a slap in the face to anyone who's grown up in a one parent household, and it's a slap in the face to anyone who comes up from poverty. Because because you're poor doesn't mean you lack morals. Or you lack morality. So I get tired when I hear people say that that's their number one defense. Oh, they're poor. They came from this and that. Yeah. Just because you're poor doesn't mean you don't know. You shouldn't know what's right
from
wrong.
That's true. I agree.
But here's the thing. That's to me, that's not even a factor about being poor and not having any money. The factor is to me is the revenue they generate, and they're not paying anyone. If you look at the sports games, the video games, the jerseys sold, the likeness of the video games. If you look at the jersey of number 2 Auburn. Who do you think of?
Killer Cam.
Right?
Cam Newton, yeah.
You look at the number 5, USC. What do you think of?
Reggie Bush.
Exactly. Well, when you look in the stadiums, that's the jerseys you see.
They ain't getting a lick of it.
They don't get a dollar of it.
And this is the thing, like we were talking about. Well, this is the argument about room and board and whatever in terms of how that's what they're getting. That's the trade-off. But in the grand scheme of things, some of these players are making the universities way more money than room and board is.
I mean, but
way more.
But that's, so what's, that, who, that's who's any, getting off? That's any but, business. I know, hey, all but, of us, all of us are employed by some
but
company.
But I'm saying,
and I can guarantee you. No, I'm not trying to cut you off or ruin anything. But the revenue that we produce, like our salary, I know. I can only speak for. I can speak for myself.
Go ham.
No, I'm not going to go ham. I'm not going to put like. I'm not trying to badmouth. The company I work for, or anything, but the amount of revenue I bring in versus my paycheck is not even 10%. It's disrespectful, in my opinion. It's disrespectful.
Yeah. Corporate greed is everywhere, man.
But here's my thing to make it right, because the moving of the conferences from teams going to conference to conference, it's not about education. It's about revenue. It's about sports. it's actually just about football.
Yeah.
So when you see Texas A&M going to SEC, it's not about basketball. It's about football. When you see TCU leaving the, I forgot, the Mountain West or something like that, to the Big East, a different region that doesn't make any sense. It's not about the basketball program. It's about football.
It's about
but with the revenue. Program. But it's about the revenue. And here's the thing now. If you can allot some money away for players at the end of their career of playing, then that'll be fine. Because some of these players, they get injured, you know, and all they know is sports.
Well, here's the counter argument for that. You're in school. You have the opportunity to get a degree just like everyone else. And also, you also have access to more resources than a normal person.
Yeah, you're correct. But here's another kicker. When you're playing these football games, you're practicing morning and night, two-a-days. What time are you supposed to study? So, you see, this is what people, I don't think people realize. The athletes are actually working harder than regular students, okay? Because they are working a full-time job. Like, when I read up on USC, they have two-a-day practice starts at 6 a.m. So they got to shift their schedule to based on football, not their classwork based on sports. You see what I'm saying? Like, automatically, the tunnel vision for it is totally incorrect.
Yeah, it's a lot of different factors. You can't pay every athlete though. It would be very difficult to lay out a pay scale for student athletes.
Yeah, because then you have to pay every sport.
See, it would be difficult. See, but here, it'd be too difficult.
To me, this is how it should be. If you want a player to play in your school, pay them. That's what it really comes down to.
So you're saying pay them to come to your school.
Because
once they come to your school, you don't pay them.
Fine, so be it. Because to be honest, that's what it is. Because what the ESPN was talking about it, 7-on-7 is becoming AAU basketball.
Absolutely.
You got the street agents already, so they're already getting paid. Okay, so you already know who the marquee players are. So when you have a marquee player, I tell you right now, if I have a son and he's a top athlete, and if Jim Tressel, let's say he's the coach, then he come knocking on my door. After he leaves, someone else better be knocking on my door with an envelope.
A bag.
Because I'm telling you, because it doesn't make any sense. When you send your son off to school, and you look at it and you say, hey, Dad, here's my classes, but here's my schedule. How can I work my classes for my football schedule? So already you're telling football first. That's the bottom line. It's always football first.
That's the only reason you're going to that school, though.
Yeah,
you're making a choice. So
You're making a choice.
But you're making a choice by coming and get me.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You can make a choice to come and get me. So where do I reap my benefits?
You still make a choice, though.
Your benefits are your 4-year.
I don't think there's any perfect answer to it.
I want to make this clear. Like, I agree with Al. I think that college athletes should be paid. They need to devise a system where the athletes get some type of monetary get monetary funds because they are producing millions and millions of dollars for
not everywhere though.
Not everywhere and not every sport produces money.
Not only two marquee sports. Baseball does it in the West Coast and in the South. But it's basketball and football. I went to Eastern Shore. The basketball players did have better benefits than the student athletes. They were able to go to parties for free. They were able to do other movies for free. That's what I'm saying. It was a violation. I don't care what school you're at. That's what I'm saying. If you're an athlete, you get some type of benefit.
Yeah, I mean that's anything. That's if you have any type of stature you're always going to get benefits.
But what I'm saying is, that's a violation. See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so
a lot of things go unlooked. It's high school
basketball.
We watch Varsity Blues, man. We know that they get special privileges.
By the way, Varsity Blues, a shout out to Wale. He has a great single out, Varsity Blues. Please look it up on iTunes. Thank you.
Hey, it's the truth. It starts early.
It's a nice single.
It starts early.
Look at it.
Then we just see a 7-year-old get signed.
Yeah.
Real Madrid or something.
No one talks about that.
Saying, it happens in all sports.
I mean, that's a conversation for another time. I'll say this. How can I say it? I don't want to be like
races?
Caucasians? I told you.
Europeans.
No, I don't use that. I don't use that word.
Europeans.
Europeans. White people.
If someone,
just like I've always had the problem with, why no one calls out
baseball players, because they go to minor league baseball, sure, get paid millions and millions of dollars. Sure. No one has any problem. But when NBA, when young black inner city athletes want to go to the NBA early, it's a problem. It's
true.
Everyone's
not true. I agree.
I agree. Jake Locker was over $2 million.
Kyle Ripken Jr., who's one of the most respected athletes of period, didn't go to college.
At all. But it's another thing. They should just make college football the minor leagues and just pay them.
Here we go.
They'll never pay them because I think you get it's a good free
discussion.
Work.
It's ongoing when there's been a lot of – ESPN has had a town hall discussion about not only this but a playoff system and all this other stuff. I want to clarify something. I want to squash something real quick. College football, out of all sports, including pro sports, is not the best regular season, like everybody says. I think the NFL still has the best regular season out of – all sports, and then college basketball is the best postseason out of all sports, pro and
I disagree.
And I bet you do, but we gotta move on. LSU players, LSU players, Melville police today about a fight. The charges appear serious enough to charge players with felony battery charges. A lot of charges in that. Starting quarterback Jordan Jefferson was involved. Will they get suspended?
Oh no, they will get suspended, but it's not gonna be suspended. They might get suspended maybe if the coach suspends them now, they won't get suspended
Les
at all.
Miles.
Yeah. Les Miles probably needs to suspend them before the university does.
Wow. Big game against Oregon.
No, but he's not going to miss.
Yeah, they'll play that first game.
He's not going to miss. I think what's going to occur is after the Oregon game, I think they got some weak games, and they're going to plead no contest and get suspended for those two games.
Yeah, like I said, it kind of goes back to what we talked about. The reason why they won't get suspended because that game is big. Oregon versus LSU, and you need your stars. You don't want them to be suspended for a huge game. Again, it's going to make the NCAA some money. And if you take away the starting quarterback, it's going to take away from the ratings.
Who sucks, by the way?
Yeah, listen, but it's going to take away from the ratings, though, regardless of the fact.
We need to have a show in the near future, even if it's not on a Tuesday, dedicated solely to college football. It's big. It's coming up.
Thank you.
I think we did injustice.
That's what I've been saying. I've been saying that for the longest. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I really did. I'm going to say this again. College football needs to be talked about for at least 45 minutes. If it's just, the King Joppy show, so be it. But it needs to be talked about. Twitters and Facebookers, whatever you guys are, let me hear your voice. You want college football. I do. You do. King Joppy Joe III and his troop does.
College football is popular. We get boxing more attention than that, unfortunately.
Yeah, no.
I would love to hear
I would love to hear Al's opinion on Matt Barkley, what he's going to be this year.
Al can always give his opinion.
I would. I mean, Matt Barkley, this is his make or break year, in my opinion.
No, Matt Barkley is going to be the second pick overall. The second quarterback picked overall.
Matt Barkley. I think Landry Jones will.
Texas A&M quarterback looks real good right now.
Black dude?
Might have the wrong school, but...
No, that's Bailey. Bailey's a black dude.
I think you don't think Landry Jones?
I like Barkley. I do like Barkley. I don't like a lot of USC plays, but I like Barkley. I like the way he stays in the pocket. I like the arm. He's accurate. He started young. Yeah, he's thriving out of it. I like him.
He reminds me of Chad Henne a little bit. Chad Henne was talented coming out of high school, just like he was.
For Barkley? Yeah, Chad Henne was playing. Chad Henne was a man. In Pennsylvania? Oh, Lord.
He was kind of like...
He's from Western Pennsylvania.
He's from Dan Marino.
Yeah, with Dan Marino and all those other...
Terrell Pryor and him from the same area.
Yeah.
No, but Terrell Pryor was an athlete.
Yeah.
Because he had a scholarship for basketball.
We need to do... Before college football starts, which is the weekend after next, we need to do a
Of course, we can do a special show.
Y'all know I'm a bigger college basketball fan than I am football, but football is coming up. I want to know why schools.
I know college basketball is where it's at.
I want to know. Oh yeah, definitely. I would high school basketball everything, but I would
you're doing okay.
I would love to find out why Boise State has never investigated. And they generate a lot of money in Idaho.
They actually have been investigated.
We'll get there. They have.
Yeah, they suspended their own players. That's the reason why. If you nip it in the bud before the NCAA does, you're fine.
It sounds like they'll do something like get tattoos or something. That sounds like a Boise State thing. Not an Ohio State thing. But
and they fired the
car
AD.
Car dealerships, though?
They fired the AD?
They fired the AD.
Oh, Lord. Yeah.
Boise State?
Yeah,
see,
Boise
this
State
is this is why we need to discuss these type of things, man.
They fired the AD, like I said.
John Beck and Rex Grossman. Everybody hears about that, but it's okay.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Shout out to our
Redskins.
Is Adam Kirker following us? Shout out to Adam Kirker. Is he following us?
Yeah, he's following us. Adam Kirker's following us.
So,
you know what, man? I'm going to say something about Adam Kirker. I didn't think he would be a good fit, but I hope you proved me wrong, man. Shout out. I love the Redskins. I don't love you, though. All
right. Well, anyway, listen to the show.
You don't know who.
So listen to the show. You can hit us up at
WallyO.podbean.com. WallyO spelled WALEO. Also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook, just search the Urban Sports Team and email your comments, suggestions, whatever, concerns, change.da.game6@gmail.com. We're also on a couple other shows, actually a lot now. Wally's a star. He's been appearing everywhere.
I'm not a star.
Somebody lied.
No, I got some papers in my car.
No, he's not a star.
He's not a star. Of the Kinsa Group, it's I. Thank you very much.
BlogTalkRadio.com/Applecheeses. BlogTalkRadio.com/WCStillAFan. And the Green Bell Recreation Show is over with, because that's all that's around this table. So enjoy your week. Hopefully no more earthquakes. I'll be back.
Ron just failed.
Also, be on the lookout for the new Urban Sports Scene documentary. It's called Takers 2, as we follow Ben Roethlisberger and Kobe on their off days.
Wow. We take us, gents.